I have bits of paper with me, as per normal, but God may well just sort of chuck them out, really. This is my first time speaking where I've been given the title Speaker's Choice. And when Rich emailed it through to us, and you're like a school kid finding out whether you've passed or failed something, scurrying down the list of dates to find your name, I found my name against the one that I would not have chosen. And I'm like, oh, God. So I said to Richard, well, have you got scripture, choice of topic, subject? No, it's speaker's choice. So that kind of has taken me out of my comfort zone. So if I don't look like I'm out of my comfort zone, trust me, I am. So kind of the title is that we're going on a journey up a hill and down a mountain. And I have been on a journey, and I stand here not having finished the journey. I am not perfect. I wish that I was, but I won't be until God comes again. Okay. And so there were a group of us that went camping over bank holiday, Easter bank holiday weekend. I went camping. We'll come to that in a little bit. And I booked a couple of days retreat then, thinking, okay, I'll be the good Christian woman, set aside some specified time out of a really busy calendar, because God's then going to come and boom a title, or I see it in the sky. But no, what I got was peace, a beautiful setting, you'll see some pictures later. I got quiet, I got to relax. And the Holy Spirit began to woo me yet again in terms of nature. And I've been on that journey ever since. So here we go. My bank at the moment has as its kind of marketing gizmo, if you like, on its front page. Right now, yesterday, today, and in all of tomorrow's life choices, we are along with you for the ride. And I only spotted it the other day, and God had already spoken to me about how he is with me wherever I go. And I've kind of been doing a little internal jig of joy, because in the prayer meeting before the service, in the songs that we have been singing, and even in the Bible scripture or the prophetic picture that was brought, they're all in here. And I think, oh, can I just sit down then, God? But no. Okay, so he is with me wherever I go and whatever season of life that I'm in. And if you want to know more about my story of my season of life, you can come and ask me afterwards. That is his promise to us. As the screen says, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. No matter where I am, no matter how I am feeling, no matter what my brain is trying to tell me or not, that is the absolute truth. And God can't change that, can he? Because he's God and he can't go against his word. So whether I'm on a mountain top or whether I'm in the valley below or whether I'm in that climb up or down or in between, he is with me and he is for me. And that's the same for you. And I don't know about you, but I can sometimes forget about the journey part, that we are on a journey, and some people will just focus on the mountaintop element because their perception is, when I get to the top of the mountain, I've made it. I'm there. That's it. I've achieved it. It's a place to be where life seems to be good. So what's your perception of a mountaintop? No, I know Dave and some other mad people love climbing to get to the top of them. What's your perception? What are your thoughts about being there? Some people would say that when you get to the mountain top, there's brilliant views. It's a positive place to be. They're excited at getting there. There's that joy. For some, there's that, what if? What if I was there? Everything's going to be okay, isn't it, once I get out of this valley and onto the mountain top? Or perhaps it's a place that you think you will never see or get to. In the natural, I believe that mountain tops are not designed as a place to stay. Because when you look at them, there's no food up there. There's no water. Vegetation, very scarce. The mountain top itself is often smaller than the sides or the base of it, isn't it? Simple, really. It's colder too when you're on the mountain top compared to anywhere else on it. And the air is thinner, so it's difficult to breathe. So for some mountains, you actually have to carry oxygen tanks with you. Otherwise, you might make it up, but you'd be dead before you come back down. What about the valley below? What's your perception of that? I know for some, and sometimes in my life, I've thought the valley is that dark, depressive place to be, a place that I need to get out of as soon as I can. But actually, when you look at a valley, it's a place of warmth, of comfort, there's nourishment. It's often warmer in temperature than on the mountain top, and if it's not, there's something seriously wrong. And there's beauty that can be found in the valley. Can you imagine that river cutting its way through lush green meadows? The sounds of nature, you know, the birds singing, the crickets cricketing, whatever sound they make. It's a place where you can forage for food. You can grab some cool, refreshing water to drink. You can settle, make camp and rest. But what about that journey in between? No, picture on the left is actually a mountain face that people do climb. So what about that journey? Often when we start it, we can't see the top of the mountain because, or the hill, because the rest is just there in front of us. So, once in a previous lifetime, I would go climbing. And so I would be looking for, is there a cleft or is there a bit of rock that's slightly sticking out? Is there something that I could slide my fingers into to hold onto, to lift my foot up onto? And when I'm looking at that mountain face, I've got to trust it, haven't I? That if I reach or if I press down with my foot, that's going to take my weight. It's not going to crumble and fall. So I've got to trust that mountain face, that hillside. And each step that you take, each time you push or you walk gently up, breath, oxygen is needed and trust is required. We will get there, honest. And then suddenly you come to that place where you can take a breather. You know, it might be that you're in your rigging and you just kind of lean back because you can trust in the rigging and rest on it and think, oh, I'm just going to have a little breather. But actually, while I'm here, I'm just going to take a little look round. Because I'm so focused on the climb that I'm missing some of the beauty around me. I can have a look and take in the view and see how far I've come. But also I can see how much further I've got to climb to the top and think, whoa. And as I've said before, I do wonder whether the mountain tops are the place where we think I've made it. Because I think that actually they're places where we can set down markers. When we get to that mountain top, I can look back and I can give thanks for this is the terrain, this is the journey that I've travelled with my God. But also, I can look forward. And that view, it can excite me, it can get me nervous, it can get a mixture of the two. But my God promises to be with me wherever I am. Came across this picture and this quote, sometimes there is a sadness in our journey. We've all experienced sadness, haven't we? But there is also beauty. We must keep putting one foot in front of the other, even when we hurt, for we will never know what is waiting for us around the bend. And that's been a large part of my journey in this last season, learning to trust in God, whether I'm in physical pain, whether my body or my mind in the midst of depression dictates it or not. Actually, what's my God saying? What's his promise? His promise is he makes a way where there seems to be no way. So I might be thinking there, actually, yeah, I don't really want to get to that top. I think I'll just go around the side. Or, well, I know the route that I've just taken. I know that I can trust it. It got me up this far. So I'm going to go back down that familiar route. It's tried and tested. So which way are you going to go? God's been showing me that there is no right or wrong way. He is with me, whatever route I take. But my challenge is that he longs for me to talk to him about the route that I take, about the decisions that I make in life. He wants to whisper into my hopes, my dreams, my delights, my worries. So I can ask him for wisdom. I can ask him for direction. I can cling to that promise where he makes a way where there seems to be no way. I start my new job properly next week. And for about the last 8 years, the university have been dangling, come and work for us. But actually, God's had other plans, and it's been about his timing, and it's been about what he's doing inside of me. So out there, whatever I think my out there is, or wherever I think I've made it, it's not about my job, it's not about my title, it's not about my pay, my car, or whatever. Out there, that place we look for that gives us our identity, our sense of belonging, of worth, of value, that made it feeling. It's in everyday knowing God's presence. And isn't it exciting that he's already said that this morning? So kind of think, oh God, seeking him, inviting him into our every now moment of every day, because that's where we find pleasure and we find peace. And like I said, being away camping, survived in a tent, took a very high airbed with me, so it helped with the muscles getting up in the morning. The little blue tent with Odie in the picture, he gets into every picture, Kevin's dog, it's a little tent that I dwelled in. And on the right-hand side is part of the hill that we climbed. And it's where I went up a hill and I came down a mountain. And for all of us that were going, who'd never actually been up it before, you're looking at the way to go. You're looking at where the others have gone and you think, am I going to follow them? And some of them chose some really steep routes and I'm like, no, I don't think I'm quite up for that just yet. No, I'll take this greener route over here. But the younger bods in the party and even me grew in our confidence as we went up, to the point where the crazy youngsters with a very crazy 20-something that was with us didn't just go up once in a day, but they actually went up three or four times. And the difference for some of these youngies is they went up the second or third time without their parents. First time they'd done that. And actually, I watched as the parents were watching their every step that they could see them going up the hill. And some of them had very vivid colours on. So you could tell, oh yeah, that's Rohan. Yeah, there's Leon. No, you could see them going up. When they came back, they were on a high. You know, their confidence in who they are grew. And the parents' faces when they were listening to their offspring, it was just joy. And you know what? That's what God's like with us. He doesn't want us to be completely independent of him, but he does let us go and walk. And then he loves to hear about it. He loves to celebrate with us. He loves to commiserate with us. So we walked up a hill and we came down the mountain. That's me, by the way, walking up the hill, thinking, Lord, I can't believe that I've got my walking boots back on. Thank you. Because actually they've been so heavy to wear because of what's gone on with my joints that I haven't been able to wear them for a few years now. And just being back out in nature, the sights, the sounds, the smells, even the colours, the taste. I couldn't really speak going up or down. That's having the fungus growing in your lungs. But when I could stop and take in the view around me, that's also when I could celebrate and chat with others who were on the journey with me. And it was so worth it. But I had to take my time. I had to realise that my pace and manner of moving had to adapt to the now of what my body, my lungs, my mobility and energy levels are. And not looking back on what was. Those words about regret this morning, you know, that's in here. That we regret some of the things, or we hearken back to those days and think, oh, if only. And I know I've done that with my body. You know, if only I was in those younger fit days when I could go out rock climbing and not think about it, but I appreciate it so much more now. And in that moment, in each step, focusing and thinking about the here and now, not putting my energy and efforts into thinking of what, how things used to be, or thinking that one day, thank you God, I will have a new body on this new earth. I can't wait. But actually, I need to be thinking about the now moments. Otherwise, I'm going to miss them. And God's got some amazing little, you know, treats. I know Rachel with her rainbows. No, if she's engrossed on thinking about the past or the future, she missed seeing some of the beauty that's out there. And that slide, where I am today, is preparing me for where God will take me tomorrow. I know that I've been formed with a purpose. Do you know that? Because that's one of the things he's been stirring up in my belly. No, I'm created to worship him. There's no better calling. There is no better job in life than that. Today, I'm going to enjoy my journey. And that journey of today might involve some discomfort, might involve some trials. But actually, with my God, I want to trust and I want to go forward. That on the left is the hill that we climbed. That in the middle is the ravine that some of the lads found. And that on the right is the cooling, refreshing river that awaits you when you've got over and down the other side. And you can do two things. You can use the stepping stones to get across. And it's great that they're there, so use them. But actually, you can also go and have a little bit of a paddle. And if you're really crazy, like the 20-something was in our group, you strip down to your boxers and in you go. One way of cooling down. But you know, nature's there to reflect God's glory, to get us thinking about him. And sometimes life ahead of us requires a bit of prep. The right equipment, a bit of the right experience for the journey ahead. So Di, Nate, Rob and Naomi aren't with us today because they were preparing for climbing Ben Nevis. And that's where they're travelling today. Mad. But actually, they've done some of the prep for that. I'm hoping that Naomi's legs will stand up because she did a huge cycle yesterday. But again, that's part of prep. I actually did recommend to them, especially the girls, that they take some thermals because I was nice and toasty on our bank holiday weekend away. But let's just say that blankets during the day were essential, really, to keep warm. Life is like that. We don't know what is around the bend in the road. We weren't given the ability to see clearly into the future, but we don't have to because we have a God who can. So whatever life is throwing at us at the moment, God uses every situation, every trial, every tribulation, every celebration, thanksgiving, to prepare, mould and shape us to be who he called us to be. No, he's the God who knew us before we were formed in our mother's wombs, wasn't he? I've told my mum that it was God's plan to bring her and my dad together, not theirs, because she wonders why they ever got together. And I'm like, well, you got together to have me. And she's like, well, but I could have you with somebody else. It's like, but I wouldn't be this mixture of genes and I wouldn't look like this, sound like this, whatever. He knows where we've been. He knows where we are now and he knows where we're heading. Just like Jeremiah says, he has the best plans and purposes for us. What for? To give us peace, to give us hope, to give us a future. So while I was then on this brilliant retreat to a castle out in the Derwent Valley, castle, the beautiful valley, some of the views from where I could sit and look across. And I'm looking at the river, and in some places it's moving really fast. You can see that, and you can see that by the way that the weeds are waving in that direction. In other areas there were weirs, and in some areas it was really shallow. You could have paddled in it. And as I was looking across the valley at this river, there were suddenly two swans that came floating down. And I'm thinking, what? And suddenly Holy Spirit began to whisper to me. And I'm watching these swans as one is following on behind the other. And they're sat there. They're not flapping their wings. They're not having to go with their feet. They are just sat there, letting the river do the job for them. And downstream, they travelled. And suddenly, they're going around boulders because that's the river taking them around. But then they got to one bit where it was shallower. And suddenly, you saw them waddling. And you knew that they were using their feet. They used their energy to wade in the direction that the river was going. They didn't turn around and try and paddle back upstream. And then it was as if they tucked their feet up back under them and let the river carry them on. And as I'm sat there watching, I felt God whisper to me, "Do you trust me?" And then in preparing for this, I honestly do have some scriptures at the end on this. It's not just all story, but I sense that he wanted to ask you the same. Do you trust me? I've got to read it because otherwise I'll get lost. Do you trust that I have the best plans and purposes for you? Do you trust me enough to let go of what you know works, to let go of what you think is best, to let go of the familiar and the routine, to trust that my river, the Holy Spirit, can take your weight, can take your particular way of walking, floating, thinking, acting, that I'm safe to lean back on, let me carry you, doing what I need you to do when the river demands it. Because when you're in that place, there is security, there's identity, there's purpose, fulfillment. In that place with me, I can soothe, I can comfort, I can reward, renew, refresh. So that when the river becomes a waterfall, you can go over it knowing that you're going to bob up safely further downstream. That when the river becomes a stream that disappears under a mountain, that your feet can climb, being sure-footed, sturdy and confident that he who brought you into this place will help you overcome. That when the river reaches the sea, you're not lost among the many, but simply become the more of celebration of Jesus' love and faithfulness. And I'm sat there at this cream tea, out in this beautiful setting, and I'm like, oh God, I just want to cry, because actually, do I trust you? Do I trust you with every single thing in my life? Do I trust you? And that's been part of my journey. God longs to be included in each and every part of our journeys, because he intimately knows us, but he wants us to know the intimacy of being with him. He provides for us, he guides us, he sustains us. So will you involve him? Will you trust him? Will we give thanks to him and focus on what there is to be thankful for, rather than be swept this way and that by our attentions being fixed on the has been, the not yet, or the what ifs? Do you know what? I'm easily the first person to disqualify myself in serving my Abba. Kind of, you know, who am I to be speaking to you this morning? If I look at myself with my human eyes, I would disqualify myself. But actually, I'm learning not to look with my human eyes, but to look and see who Father sees. I'm one of his daughters, daughter of the Most High. You know, there's nothing better, is there, than being a son or a daughter. I'm the apple of his eye. What qualifies me to speak today, to expect his presence to be with me wherever I am and whatever season of life I'm in, it's nothing of my own efforts. Nothing of my life experiences, my qualifications. Jesus is the one who qualifies me. It's the Holy Spirit who enables me, and God who set the path before me and travels with me. We heard Tony Wostall, if you were here a little while back, and part of what he was talking about was the river, river of life. And he was asking us, you know, if you see a trickle of what God's doing, go get in it, even if it's just a trickle. And he was asking us, are you ankle deep? And again, I'm looking at this river and God's asking me, are you in? And I'm thinking, yeah, I think so, God. Am I not? And I have that little, you know, conversation with him. But there's some where it's still safe playing around on the banks and you're looking at the river and think the river looks nice, but I don't know how deep it is right where I am. And so, well, I'm on the bank and the bank's okay. And God says, yeah, you're all right where you are, but I've got more for you. Come on, trust me. Come to the edge of the bank. Now take a step forward. Now take another step and just dip your big toe in. The temperature will be a bit cold first off, but you get used to it after a while. It's like in the natural, isn't it? If we're in ankle deep, well, what about going a bit knee deep then? And if we're in knee deep in what he's doing, then there's waist deep, isn't there? And then the fun comes after waist deep, because boy, you've got nothing to stand on, nothing to hold you. You've got to trust in that water that you are going to flow and you're going to go. And in all of that, God then gave me a few scriptures and he was like, do you trust me? No, got those up in a minute. So when I was praying about today, I'm like, God, you know, this is a jumble. Makes sense to me because it's a journey that I'm on. But actually, I doubt that it will make sense to Bod's sat there. And it's like, but it's me, Lise. You know, I'm the father. They're my children. Do they trust me? Do they know that they're loved with an everlasting love? And I felt him say, you know, are any of you in pain? And I don't just mean physical pain. It could be spiritual pain. It can be emotional pain. Then he says, step forward. Trust me with that. Give it to me. Let me come and begin that journey of healing, restoration. Because for some of us, it's a journey. Now, I've lost count of the number of times people have prayed over me, but I've still got some of my conditions. But hey, Father is with me and teaching me that I can still go do what he wants me to do, but in his strength, not in my own, which is a good thing. So if you're in pain, take that step forward and find rest, peace, healing. If you're wondering what your purpose in life is, if you're thinking, actually, you know, I'm in retirement. There's no such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. There's new seasons. He's got new things for you. So if you're wondering what he's got for you, take that step forward, because actually he's called you to be a worshipper. So if you get hours to spend at his feet and be, I'm jealous, because I've still got to go out to work. If there's any negativity, bitterness, regret, amazing, isn't it? It is here. Those if-onlys or what-ifs, then come and meet that loving Abba Father of ours who delights in us and has those best plans and purposes. No matter what the now dictates, because the now can often be based on the lies of the enemy. That reminder that we're promised eternal life with him. So John 17:7 says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made their Lord their hope and confidence. If your hope and confidence isn't in your Abba Father, guess what? You're going to live with a lot of anxiety and that going through life. Philippians 4, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. As I've had to battle in terms of body, with lungs that don't fully function, with limbs that get all sorts here, there and everywhere, actually, I come to my Father. And if Father says, go do, I can trust him for the strength physically to go and do that. Then if I have to go to bed later, I'll go to bed later. Mark 9, anything is possible if a person believes. Romans 12, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, Liz's story earlier on about the job and the weight, it wasn't just for others, that sense of enjoyment she was getting. Actually, her ways of thinking were being changed, whether she realizes it or not. Psalm 55, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. Psalm 100, he made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, our Lord is with us whatever season of life we are in. But then felt he had some questions. So I'm going to ask the questions and then I've got a song that's going to come up on the screen. It does have the words with it. It is up to you whether you stand up, sit down, lie down, do a little dance, whether you sing the words, don't sing the words, have your eyes open, eyes shut, it doesn't matter. What matters is open your heart to the Holy Spirit and just let him come and meet you in the way that he wants to meet just with you today. Because the way he meets with Kevin will be very different to how he meets with Dave. That is very different to how he meets with Jen. He's a good, good father who's got good, good gifts to give. So one of the questions was, have you stayed too long on the mountain top? You've been enjoying that view, but actually you're procrastinating. But what if your bags have been packed and ready for a long time? So get moving before the contents become out of date. Have you become comfy and complacent in the valley, in that comfort zone of ours? Then start asking the Lord, do I need to be packing up? What's next in the journey? And start to pack up your base in whatever shape that may be. It's not me. This is what's just popped into my head. So I'm out of my comfort zones because I'm just trusting God that will mean something to at least one of you in the room, even if it's just me. All right, okay. Where do you need to make some adjustments? Shed some weight because what you're carrying is too heavy. Or I found that as God's been doing things in me, the weight is literally falling off me. And people keep saying, what diet are you on? And I'm like, I'm not on a diet. You must be not on a diet. Well, are you sure it's not something else? No, I've had my cancer markers checked. You know. So I'm like, okay, God, can you do it a little bit more, please? Can I get down to that size? But it's not about that, is it? So what do you need to do to make some adjustments? Realize it's a different season that we're in. So put down your old familiar tools that you used to, that you're confident with, that you've seen fruit from in the past, and pick up what God has set in front of you. Because for some of us, He's set new things in front of us. And actually, if we don't stop thinking about the past, we're going to miss what He's put in front of us. What language do you need to learn? That was a crazy one. For me, what came into my head was Portuguese. But, you know, for some of you here, is there a language? Is there a place, a country, a people group that God's put on your heart? Then perhaps actually you need to learn to speak their language. Are you feeling hemmed in, surrounded on all sides? Because if you are, God's promise is we're bruised but never broken. So come and give it to Him. Do you trust God with yourself, your partner, your family, your health, your career, in finances? If there's something that comes into your head, as we're going to soak for 8 minutes, this video is a warning now, okay? 8 minutes. But 8 minutes out of eternity is even less than the blink of an eye. But if there's things that pop into your head that you think, actually, God, I'm not trusting you there, now's the time to get right before Him. Do a little bit of repentance. Get a bit of forgiveness. Move on. Are you being obedient to Him? God delights in you. He's got love songs that He wants to sing over you. So we're going to try and quieten our hearts and our minds and listen to Him. Be still before the Lord. Came out in this morning, didn't it? Wait upon Him. Why? Because He'll come and renew and refresh us. He wants to forgive. He wants to remind you He never changes. He wants to remind you that He cherishes and desires you above all others. And when we're doing that, and when we're in all of that, then what comes? Strength, hope, faith, endurance, perseverance. Now, I'm very thankful to still be physically standing today. I'm very thankful for every breath that I take. I can forget it at times, because without Him, I honestly would not be here today. So, Katie, the smiley face is a little hyperlink. So Holy Spirit, I just, in all my randomness and everything else of this morning, you are who you are. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do what you want to do. Come and have your way amongst us as we just take this time out from busy lives to be still before you and to hear from you.
Sends us more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions He offers more mercy. To multiply trials He multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength is failed in the
His mercy flows like a river on us. His river will flow when we're sipping tea and coffee. But if there's anything where you just want a little bit more of him, a little bit more of the Holy Spirit, pray for confirmation of something, take that step forward, grab someone near you, come down here, we're happy to pray. If during the morning God's given you a word or a picture for someone, grab someone else, go, share it with them. And if he's given you anything for the counsellors, don't forget there's little post cards out there, so to grab one, take it away, score something on. Hit end of my session, okay? So if you want tea and coffee, you are released to go.